Let's start turn back to John chapter 3, the passage that we read earlier on. John chapter 3, we will continue from verse 11, John chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible reads, "I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." We shall be focusing upon verse 14, John chapter 3, verse 14, and particularly the latter part of that portion of scripture. The Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up. The whole verse reads this way: just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Notice, firstly, dear friends, that the lifting up of the Son of Man is presented as a must. The Son of Man must be lifted up. It is not a remedy. Rather, it is the only possible remedy for sin. Friends, in this statement, Jesus uses forceful words, strong words, powerful words, to show the seriousness of the matter. Putting it differently, Jesus is saying, this must be done. This is the way. This is the only option. And there's none other. And hence, the usage of the word must. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Two other passages in the Word of God, this just as an example, uses a similar strong words. The first one is Mark chapter 8, verse 1. And we read there, "He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things." It was a necessity, it was a must for the Son of Man to suffer. If we are to be saved for our redemption. But the second passage is in Luke chapter 24 and verse 7. And the Bible says there, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Dear friends, before we zero in on something specific, let me mention here that there are three ways by which the Son of Man is lifted up. Looking at that passage, firstly, in the crucifixion, his death is called a lifting up. In John chapter 12, verses 32 and 33, the Lord Jesus says, "But I," verse 32, "when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And verse 33 says these words, "He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die." So it is clear, dear friends, that when we talk about the Son of Man being lifted up, we are talking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Christ is secondly lifted up in his exhortation. In Acts chapter 5, verse 31, we read these words, "God exalted him to his own right hand as a prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel." But thirdly, and lastly, Christ is lifted up in the publishing and preaching of his eternal gospel, his everlasting gospel. And we read this in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, and the Bible says, "Then I saw another angel in mid-air, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people." In the last part of my sermon, I would like to focus on the aspect of lifting up Christ as it relates to the publishing and the preaching of the eternal gospel. I want to do so by looking at three things. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. Three things from there. Firstly, the object that must be lifted up. Secondly, the necessity of lifting up the Lord Jesus. And then thirdly, the nature or the form of lifting up Jesus. So lifting up of Christ with respect to the object, the necessity, and the nature. Let us first, before we get to the first point, look at the meaning briefly of lifting up. To lift up is to magnify. Many of us have seen a magnifying glass and have even used it. A small thing, when you subject it to a magnifying glass, it enlarges. It blows up. It looks bigger than the way it actually is. So to lift up is to magnify. And in this case, it is to magnify Jesus. But secondly, it is to placard. We know what placards are. Common during demonstrations. I hope none of us held a placard one time, demonstrating over something. So you write a message there, which you want to communicate to the public, to the world. Then you lift that message up so that it is seen. That is what we mean by a placard. So to magnify Christ, or rather to lift up Christ, it is to placard Christ. But thirdly, it is to elevate to a higher level so as to draw attention, to elevate to a higher level so as to draw attention. Let's then move on quickly to the first point, the object that must be lifted up. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. John 3:16-14, rather, very, very clear. The object is clear. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We must placard. We must lift up. There is no one else we must lift up except Christ. We are not to lift ourselves up, our egos up. Each time when we seek to draw people's attention upon ourselves, we are in essence lifting ourselves up instead of Jesus. Each time we pursue our own personal interests and not the interests of Christ, we are effectively lifting ourselves up instead of Jesus. We are not to lift up our models. Many of us gathered here, whether consciously or unconsciously, we are following certain figures, certain personalities, certain individuals. And at times we follow them by the manner we dress. We see this person that we admire addressing in a certain way, and we say, I will buy that jacket which this person is dressing. When we do that, dear friends, we are effectively lifting up that person. If you are a Christian, if you are born again, if you are a child of God, your business is to lift up Jesus.
And no one else, not even yourself. It must be Jesus.
In the case of the bronze snake that we read about in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9, it was put on a pole. And this pole was long. And then it was lifted up so that the whole community, the whole camp, the Israelite camp, could see that bronze snake. So that if anybody gets bitten by this dangerous, poisonous snake, they would look. It was very, very visible, therefore. By implication, Jesus must be elevated in such a way that all the people around about us can see him as they could see the bronze snake. They didn't have to do some kind of search. They didn't have to scratch their head. Now, where is this bronze snake? No, dear friends, it was very visible. Are you radiating Jesus that way? Are you lifting up Christ that way? Is it obvious to everybody around about you that you have Christ inside you? That Jesus indwells you? Friends, God has called upon you, if you are born again, upon me, to lift up Jesus. Nobody is going to do it. Christ is not here. He is not here. The apostles are not here. They are gone. You are the one who is here. And you are the one charged with this responsibility of lifting up Jesus. This leads me to our second point, the necessity of lifting up Jesus. Dear friends, man is in a terribly desperate situation, desperate condition. Unlike in Numbers, where some of the Israelites, some of the people had been beaten by these poisonous snakes. Some of them. In our case, everybody has been beaten and affected by the old serpent's poison. Lucifer, the devil, Satan. This poison is a sin. And everyone has a poison of sin by nature in them. Without a single exception. That time in the camp of Israel, it was Sam who got beaten and he died. But now, each one of us has been infected by the serpent's, or the serpent's poison, the poison of sin. And this is the reality, dear friends. We are born with this poison. We are born sinners. We are born rebellious against God. Every human being has this poison. And on account of the poison of sin which every one of us is currently carrying in our body, in ourselves, we are doomed to eternal death. We are doomed to eternal death. Friends, girls, boys, young men, young women, older men, older women, each one of us, on account of this poison of sin, we are doomed. To eternal death, eternal destruction. God has already made pronounced judgment. The soul that is sins shall die. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. The soul that sins shall die. Friends, each one of us is in this trap. Each one of us is in this danger. Without a single exception, each one of us is in this dangerous state. Just like it was in the desert when one got beaten up . Man had no solution. They had no control of the situation that was happening. They could not provide a remedy, a way out. As human beings, they were at the mercy of this dangerous snakes. They were helpless. They were hopeless. Even the most clever people among them were totally redundant. They had to look to God. Only God had the solution. They came to Moses. We have sinned against God. We have sinned against you. When we spoke against you, when you spoke against God, pray to God that he might take away these sins, these snakes. And that's exactly what Moses did. What that means, dear friends, is that they had repented. They had acknowledged their sin. And God being God, he had seen it. And then he moved in. Dear friends, God is merciful. God is gracious. God is kind. The Lord Jesus will not drive away anyone who comes to him. He is moved. When he sees a sinner acknowledging their state, saying to themselves, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, I am in bondage, I can't do anything about this situation, save me. Dear friends, Jesus will inevitably move. Similarly, dear friends, just as the Israelites, the Jews, had to seek help from God, we need to seek help from God. Your religiosity cannot help you. Your baptism cannot help you. Your activity in the life of the church cannot help you. Jesus, and Jesus alone, is able. Friends, help lies in another. It does not lie in yourself. It lies in Jesus. It lies in God. Christ is the answer. You and me are responsible for Christ's cruel death on the cross. Yes! You are responsible for that day that Jesus died on the cross. He died it in your place, in your stead. We caused that death. We are the guilty ones, the sinners. He is never sinned. He is perfect. The third necessity of lifting up Jesus is that it results in belief. It results in Jesus, see, drawing all men to himself. In other words, unless Jesus is lifted up, he cannot draw men to himself. He cannot save anybody unless he's lifted up. This is why he's saying the Son of Man must be lifted up. Because without that, there can be no salvation, no conversion, no repentance. There can be no being born again. Friends, there's a very, very strong link between lifting up the Lord Jesus in verse 14 and the belief that is mentioned in verse 15. In other words, there is a strong link between lifting up the Son of Man and, that's verse 14, and everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. We read that. Or we read this in verse 15. Latter part of verse 14, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Some versions use the word in order. Verse 15, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. In fact, in four verses, John chapter 3, verse 15 up to verse 18, the word believe appears five times. It appears in verse 15, it appears in verse 16, it appears three times in verse 18. And all these come after the lifting up in verse 14. Let's move on to the third main point. We have dealt with the object of lifting up. We have dealt with the necessity. Let's look then at the nature. The nature of lifting up. We have just established, dear friends, that whenever Christ is clearly lifted up, he must necessarily draw all men to himself. By all men here, we don't mean literally everybody. No. We mean men in various spiritual conditions, various spiritual states. We mean men from every nation, every language, every tribe, every people. When Jesus is preached, he saves all men. He draws all men to himself. So the believing which follows, or which is a direct result of lifting up Jesus, is brought about by two things. Two major things, that is. Firstly, it is brought about by preaching Christ. And secondly, it is brought about by living Christ. Preaching Christ and living Christ. Let's begin by preaching Christ. This is about sharing the gospel. Telling those that are around about us, who are strangers to the grace of God, about the salvation of God in Christ. Romans 10, verse 14, the Bible says these words. How then can they call on the one they've not believed? We see the word believe again appear. Believed in, and how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Preaching to them. We further read, friends, in Romans 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Friends, it's abundantly clear from this passage that we must preach Christ. But secondly, Christ is lifted up by living Christ. This is clarified in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. But for now, just focusing on verse 21. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This is talking about really living out Christ. Whoever has the truth, and Jesus is the truth, that truth must be lived out. Another passage that illustrates very, very clearly this point is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. But beginning with verse 3, and I quote these words, you show that you are elector from Christ, the result of a ministry written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. Verse 2 puts it this way: you yourselves are our letter, known and read by everybody. This is what every Christian, every child of God is supposed to be: a letter known by everybody, read by everybody. In conclusion, dear friends, Christian friends, are you that letter? The letter of the Spirit of God, written so that all may know it, so that all may read it. Every Christian must lift up Jesus that way, as part and parcel of their day-to-day living. This is your calling, dear friend, if you are a child of God. You must be continuously preaching Christ. To what extent do you do it? Do you preach Christ? Is this your daily lot? Is this something that bothers you? Something about which you are duty bound, and you could say with the Apostle Paul that woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. He says I'm under obligation to preach the gospel. But we must also be continuously reflecting Christ in our life. We must be in the business of doing whatever there is to do as Christ would do it. In our dealings with one another, we should do it as Christ would do it. In our speech, we should do it as Christ would do it. In our work, we should do it as Christ would do it. Is that the truth about you, Christian friend? Are you elevating Christ by your life? Putting it differently, by your life, are you drawing men, women, boys and girls to Jesus? Do those who interact with you see Jesus in you? Friend, if you are not reflecting Jesus by your life, you are effectively living in sin. You have backslidden. You have wandered away from God. You must repent and turn back to God in true faith and humility. For those of you who are not yet Christians, do you realize, dear friend, that you are in a worse condition than that of the Israelites in the desert who had been beaten by those deadly snakes? Friend, you have the poison of of sin that is leading you to eternal destruction. Of your hobby, body and soul. You are a soul that is in great danger and must look to the lifted up Jesus on a pole for you to live. Look to Jesus, my brother, and live. Look to Jesus, my brother, my sister, and live. Look to Jesus and live. Take action now before it is too late. Take action now before death overtakes you. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Amen.